नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 13 एंटाइटल्ड रहुगण कन्वर्सेस विद जड़ भरत। टेक्स्ट नंबर 5। दृश्य झिल्ली स्वन कर्ण शूल उलूक वाग्भीर व्यतितांतरात्मा अपुण्य वृक्षान् श्रयते क्षुधार्दितो मरीचितो यान् अभिधावति क्वचित्। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Wandering in the forest of the material world, the conditioned soul sometimes hears an invisible cricket making harsh sounds, and his ears become very much aggrieved. Sometimes his heart is pained by the sounds of owls, which are just like the harsh words of his enemies. Sometimes he takes shelter of a tree that has no fruits or flowers. He approaches such a tree due to his strong appetite, and thus he suffers. He would like to acquire water, but he is simply illusioned by a mirage and he runs after it. Purport. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said that the Bhagavat philosophy is meant for people who are completely free from envy. Paramo Nirmat Saranam. The material world is full of envious people. Even within one's inner circle, there is much backbiting. And this is compared to the sound vibrations of a cricket in the forest. One cannot see the cricket, but one hears its sounds and thus becomes aggrieved. When one takes to Krishna consciousness, one always hears unpalatable words from relatives. This is the nature of the world. One cannot avoid mental distress due to the backbiting of envious people. Being very much aggrieved, sometimes one goes to a sinful person for help, but he has no means to help because he has no intelligence. Thus the living entity is disappointed. This is like running after a mirage in the desert in an effort to find water. Such activities do not produce any tangible results. Due to being directed by the illusory energy, a conditioned soul suffers in so many ways. In the Mahabharata, there is a similar kind of allegory mentioned of a man who enters into a forest in order to get some wood, which he could then sell and make some money. So as this man enters this forest, he finds that in his pursuit of getting some wood, it is becoming dark. And then he tries to come out of this forest, but finds that some deadly beasts starts chasing him. So he starts running to save himself and finds that from ahead in the front there is an old woman, very ugly looking, is trying to attack from in the front. So tries to change his direction and sees that the periphery wall of this forest is guarded by a five-fanged serpent. So can't jump from that periphery wall also. Then takes another direction to save himself and finds a dry well and jumps in that dry well, but gets stuck in the vines which are hanging down from that well. And as he is hanging upside down like a bat or a jackfruit, he looks down and sees that there are deadly snakes looking up with their hoods raised at the bottom of this well. So he thinks that at least at this moment, I have been protected by these vines. So therefore, when he looks at these vines, he finds that there are two rats, one black and one white. They are slowly gnawing, eating away these vines. And he looks up over the well and he sees that there is a six-faced elephant looking into the well, which has 12 legs. And as he is hanging in this condition, the tree which is close by to this well, one of its branch is just over the well, which has a beehive. And all the bees are flying inside the well and biting this man. And while all this is happening, some few drops from this beehive is falling right into the mouth of this man. And this man thinks that, what a wonderful situation I am in, that the purest form of honey I am enjoying, as untouched it is directly landing in my mouth. So then it is explained that what are these various animals and situations compared to? The man is compared to the conditioned living entity. The forest is compared to this material world. And the periphery wall, which is guarded by the five-fanged serpent, is compared to the five elements which is covering this material world. And the deadly beast who were chasing after this man, they are compared to the various diseases which follows behind the conditioned living entity. And that old woman, ugly-faced old woman, who is trying to attack from in the front, is compared to old age. And that well is compared to the well of sense gratification, in which the conditioned living entity thinks that if I jump in this, I'll get some relief. And the vines which are hanging down from this well are compared to the senses, which is the only recourse for this conditioned living entity to get some little enjoyment. And the two rats, one black and one white, compared to day and night, as this man is hanging to these vines trying to enjoy, days and nights are passing by. The six-faced elephant is compared to the six seasons, with 12 legs compared to the 12 months of the year. And the bees which are stinging, they are compared to small-time miseries here and there, which the conditioned living entity faces. And finally, all of this is endured by this conditioned living entity because those true drops of honey directly falling on the tongue of this conditioned living entity is the only source of happiness. And therefore, when someone throws a rope, this person doesn't want to come out with the help of that rope because thinks that if I hold on to this rope, then I'll change my situation, my position of enjoying those true drops of honey. So this is the predicament of the conditioned living entity within this material world. And how our scriptures so wonderfully explain with such graphic detail allegories as here in Jad Bharat is using this allegory. And we can see that how a preacher like Jad Bharat is so expert in his preaching technique. Now herein the situation was that Maharaj Rahuguna, who was going to Kapila Ashram on his palanquin, and when his palanquin reached the banks of Ikshumati River, one of the palanquin carriers was not able to carry the palanquin, or we can say Maharaj Rahuguna had a flat tire of his palanquin, of his vehicle. So it was in the middle of the forest. It was very difficult to find a person over there. So herein they found Jad Bharat, and we all know the story, what happened after that. So we see the preaching technique of Jad Bharat, that he is in the middle of the forest. And because Maharaj Rahugan could relate to the example of this forest, is using the allegory of the forest. And this is how we see preachers in our parampara. They use this technique of whatever relates to the conditioned living entity. They use examples, allegories, stories in relation to the place, situation and time. As here in Jad Bharat, in the middle of the forest, is using this allegory of the forest and explaining with such graphic details as we are reading chapter after chapter. And we find so many other preachers who come in our parampara, how they have used various preaching techniques in order to administer this medicine of Krishna consciousness. In Sanskrit, this is called Shakha Chandra Nyaya. That the small child who wants to look at the moon but cannot crane its neck to look so up, so the father shows the child, you look at that branch first, that shakha, and the child looks at that branch. In between those two branches, you see that illuminated object, that is the moon. So first the child looks at the branch, and the child could relate to the branch because branch is so close to the child. And because the child can relate to the branch, then when the father says, just little above that branch is the moon. And then the child can relate to the moon also. So similarly, great personalities like Jad Bharat and various others will be seeing now how they use this technique of preaching, of using examples and situations which we can relate to in this material world. And then they give the purport to that. So similarly, how we have to come out of this material world, or similarly, how we have to go to the spiritual world. So we have so many examples now. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, our foremost preacher is Sripad Narad Muni. And I was just going through some of the sections and how Narad Muni has preached to various personalities using various techniques. In the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have Narad Muni preaching to the sons of Daksha Prajapati, the Haryashvas. And Narad Muni uses the technique of a riddle. Herein we have an allegory. Over there, Narad Muni uses a riddle to preach to the Haryashvas. And he saw, and we'll be seeing that how all these various examples of preachers preaching to various people, they first see the situation of that person. And according to the situation of that person, they give the medicine. Now Narad Muni saw that the Hariyashvars were so intelligent. Already they were so purified because of performing the austerities. So seeing the level of their intelligence, Narad Muni is also preaching on that level. He is just putting forth in front of them few riddles. That's all. And Hariyashvars understood what these riddles mean. I just jotted down all these riddles, and if we read some of them, because we have heard so much philosophy, so we might figure out what it could mean. But some of it, even after practicing so much, we might not be able to pinpoint exactly what this riddle could be. So Narad Muni is telling to the Hariyashvas, there is a kingdom where only one man lives. That was the first riddle. There is a hole from which, having entered, no one emerges out. An extremely unchaste woman adorns herself with various opulent dresses and ornaments. A man who lives there is her husband. There is a river in this kingdom which flows in both directions. There is a wonderful home which is made up of 25 elements. There is a swan that vibrates various sounds. And there is an automatically revolving object made of sharp razors and thunderbolts. Now, some of these riddles we must have guessed what it could be. Because one reason is because we have read the answers also in the sixth canto. So when Narad Muni said there is a kingdom where only one man lives, that is the creation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is the only man, he is the only Purusha. When he said there is a hole from which, having entered, no one emerges out. So this billa, this hole, is actually referring to Patala Loka. But Narad Muni is referring it to the spiritual world. Having entered, no one comes back into this material world. An extremely unchaste woman adorns with various dresses. This is a real difficult one. Anyone could guess what it could be? The unsteady intelligence, which is adorning herself with so many various opulent dresses and ornaments. So people who think that they are very intelligent, they are like that, unchaste woman. And there is a man who has married, that is a living entity, married this unchaste woman, the living entity who has married the unsteady intelligence. A river which flows in both directions. This is the nature of this material world, which has dissolution and creation simultaneously existing. A river which flows in both directions. A wonderful home made up of 25 elements. Again, this material world. A swan that vibrates various sounds. These are the scriptures. In various ways, they are glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this automatically revolving object made up of sharp razors and thunderbolts is the time factor. Now, this was it. That was the class of Narad Muni to Hariyashvas. Narad Muni didn't give the answers to these riddles. The Hariyashvas automatically understood, and they renounced everything and became brahmacharis. They joined the ashram. Just once hearing these few riddles. He didn't give a very elaborate 2-hour class that, you know, and for many months and years. So many times in our preaching, we have to cultivate one person for so many years. And sometimes we see that after so many years of cultivation, that person nowhere to be seen. Here in Narad Muni, just these few riddles, that was the class. And Hariyashvas understood and they surrendered. Narad Muni preaching to Murugarari. Now we see the level of Murugarari was, he was engaged in such barbaric activities. Now if Narad Muni would have used such riddles for Murugarari, Murugarari would have looked with dazed eyes that, what are you speaking of? So therefore, for Murugarari, Narad Muni used some special effects, because he was into too much cross animalistic activities. So he showed him the hellish conditions which he'll be suffering in future. So he gave him some special effects. So this is the preaching technique Narad Muni used for Murugarari. And then we have Narad Muni preaching to Prachini Barhishad, who was a king. And because Narad Muni could see that this person has such a big high position and he has the king's ego, so if I directly tell him that you are in Maya, he couldn't take it. So therefore, Narad Muni uses fiction to preach to Prachini Barhishad, a fictitious character, Puranjan. So uses fiction to convince Prachini Barhishad, because that king had the king's ego. And then later on says that, by the way, this is your story, my dear king. To Vedavyas, who was so learned, what could Narad Muni preach to Vedavyas, who was already so learned? Narad Muni just spoke about himself, his real life story, his Atmakatha, that how I was changed because of the hearing and chanting process of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And hearing that, Vedavyas understood that what he is supposed to do. When Narad Muni was preaching to Valmiki Muni, he could see that Valmiki Muni is working so hard, plundering people, their riches for the family members. So Narad Muni uses Valmiki Muni's family members to preach. And that's how Valmiki Muni became a devotee of Lord Ram. Chitraketu was again very much attached to his son. So Narad Muni used Harshashoka, that he is very much attached to his son, so therefore let his son preach to him. So just instigated his son to preach to Maharaj Chitraketu and Kritadyuti. And we have so many other examples of, we can go on and on and on, so many of our wonderful acharyas and preachers, how they have used examples and situations which we could relate to. Like Rupa Goswami gives this example of how a lusty boy is naturally attracted to a girl. Similarly, let me be attracted to you, Krishna. Now, this appears to be a mundane situation. A boy totally drenched in lust is attracted to a girl. But Rupa Goswami is using this example because in this material world, this is the highest pleasure which conditioned living entity can relate to. So the point is that the intensity of that attraction between the opposite sexes is much, much more in the spiritual world when the living entity is attracted to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada one time, he used these two examples which initially confused the devotees, that how come Prabhupada is saying this? But then Prabhupada clarified. Prabhupada said that fish fried in mustard oil is the best, and the prostitutes of Paris are the best. And everyone was looking at each other, how come, why Prabhupada is using these two examples? And then Prabhupada said, because we have heard from authority. So the point was that Prabhupada was emphasizing on the word of authority, that because authoritative sources say that these two things are best and all that, so therefore we accept authority. Now we have Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, when he is speaking to Arjun, he uses examples which Arjun could relate to in this material world. when Krishna is saying, yes, Arjuna, I admit that you have to kill your own kinsmen, but just tolerate. Tam sthitik shasva bharata. And what is the example Krishna is using? Just like one tolerates summer and winter seasons. Now, Krishna always lives in the spiritual world. But why Krishna is using this example of this material world wherein we have the duality of heat and cold? If Krishna would have used the example, just tolerate as one tolerates Vasanta Ritu and Sharad Ritu, which is there in the spiritual world. Because in the spiritual world there is no duality, it's all pleasurable. So because Arjun could relate to the summer and winter season, so Krishna is using that example. And in the 15th chapter, Krishna uses the example of the Ashwatha tree. So, we see that how these various situations which are there in this material world, how our acharyas, they have used in a wonderful way with which we can relate to and then understand this deep philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Now, what to speak of all these acharyas? We have Srila Prabhupada, who used so many different situations, places, people, objects, in order to make the conditioned living entities understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And we'll just go through the expertise of Srila Prabhupada, his preaching techniques, how he delivered this medicine so wonderfully and so deftly. So Srila Prabhupada used places in order to deliver this message of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was lecturing in 22nd Avenue and he was making a point when all these cars which were passing by, because 22nd Avenue is just on the street, so the cars were passing by and there was some sound made. So, because of the sound made by these cars, there was some disturbance. So, people's attention was going towards the sound of the cars. So, Prabhupada used that particular place, 22nd Avenue, which was amidst all this conundrum. He used that particular place saying that just like these cars are passing by, when one car comes in front of you, you are able to see that car, but you know that that car existed before it came in front of your eyes, and you know that that car will exist in future after it goes out of your sight. And then Prabhupada said, similarly, Krishna appears in this world. He might be seen in front of someone's eyes when he appears, but that doesn't mean that he didn't exist in the past, and that doesn't mean that he will not exist in the future, just like this car which we see. So Prabhupada used that example which everyone could relate to at that moment. Then we see Prabhupada named the deities after the places. Radha Londoneshwar, Radha Parisishwar. Now you won't find these names in Vishnu Sahasranam. Now, London is not a Sanskrit name. Paris is not a Sanskrit name. I just met this one Bhakta Philip, the Soho Street Temple in London. And I was talking to him. So he was just a month ago, he came in contact with the devotees. Very fresh. So I was talking to him and he asked me, where are you from? I said, I'm from India, Mumbai. So he said, over there also you have this kind of temple? And I said, yes. And also these two people who are standing there are also there? I said, yes. We have all our temples, we have Radha and Krishna standing like this. So he said, these people have many homes all over the world. That was his first reaction. And then I was asking him how he came in contact. So he said that since his childhood, he was very much wanting to see Prince Charles and Princess Diana in London. So then he met this book distributor and this devotee told him that yes, We have the Prince of London and Princess of London here. If you want to see, please come over. So he was very much attracted. So when he came and he saw, you know, Radha Londoneshwar, he asked, but you told me that, you know, you will be showing me Prince of London. So he said, yes, Londoneshwar, this is Prince of London. And she is the Princess of London. And then it was revealed to him that actually he is the Prince of the entire creation and she is the Princess of the entire creation. And we see Radha Parisishwar, Prabhupada named, according to the place which people could relate to. Prabhupada also said about Radha Vrindavan Chandra that this particular boy and girl will attract the American teenage boys and girls because they are so attractive. Now, we see that sometimes these kind of relations which acharyas make, like Prabhupada made so many different comparisons with so many different situations and things, sometimes it might appear contradictory also to each other. Like, we have Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying, Bharat bhumi to hoila manushya janmaja. Now this might appear to be a bodily concept of life. That, you know, one who is born in this land of India, you know, he should take this responsibility. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is using this as a relation to put on our shoulders the responsibility of preaching. Now the same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, Naham vipro nacha narpatir. Same Mahaprabhu is saying that Bharata bhumita hoila, that it appears to be a bodily conception of life, bhauma ijyadi, as we know from that verse. And on the other hand, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also saying, Naham vipro, I am not even a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra and all that, what to speak of an Indian. But in different situations, these relations are used to administer the medicine perfectly. Now Srila Prabhupada also, when he was in America, he would give examples of the President of America. When he was in India, he would give the examples of Mahatma Gandhi and others. Like Prabhupada said to his disciples, that what is the use of you being American if you can't do something big? And when Prabhupada was in India, in Hyderabad, we were hearing that lecture, Prabhupada said, all of you are born in India. What is the use of being born in India if you can't preach the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world? Now Prabhupada might appear to be using the bodily concept of life, of calling them Americans or Indians. In that same lecture, Prabhupada is saying, giving this example, that why do you find that a dog is naturally antagonistic towards a cat and a cat naturally towards a rat? And then Prabhupada answers, because the dog thinks I am a dog, therefore. And a cat thinks I am a cat. Similarly, if anyone thinks I am an American or I am an Indian, that is doggish mentality. So we see, Prabhupada is using somebody who is born in America in one place, that what is the use of you being Americans, and other place is condemning that if you think you are an American, that is doggish mentality. So how he is very nicely using these relations in order to explain to us the message of Krishna consciousness. Then Prabhupada used the situations, how at various situations Prabhupada preached in a wonderful way. Giriraj Maharaj recollects that in one lecture, as Prabhupada was speaking, mother was having the child in her lap and the child started crying loudly. And Prabhupada said, just see that the child is in the lap of the mother, totally sheltered by the mother, but still the child is crying. So similarly, unless we have the shelter of Krishna, no matter what arrangements we make, we'll be miserable in this material world. And that was actually, Prabhupada was paraphrasing Prahlad Maharaj's prayers unto Lord Narsingadev. Balasya neha pitaram Narsingha. He was paraphrasing that. Another time, in another lecture, another child was crying. And the sound was so piercing, because small children, when they start crying, their sound is very piercing. So Prabhupada said, just see, no one over here can make that kind of sound which the child is making. Because Krishna has given him the ability to make that piercing sound to attract the attention of the mother. So therefore, this is the glory of Krishna. So the same situation, child crying, Prabhupada is relating in different ways and giving different meanings to it. Another time Prabhupada was on a morning walk and one disciple asked, Prabhupada, how to make advancement in Krishna consciousness? So Prabhupada was walking. So he put his first step firmly on the ground and he said, so just like you put your first step firmly on the ground and then put your next step, that's how you advance in Krishna consciousness. If you think you can run, then you might fall down. So be firm in whatever you are doing and gradually you advance like this. So he used that immediate situation to give this message to that person who had asked this question. To the hippies, Prabhupada said that because you already have the tendency to go to a different world by taking LSD. Prabhupada found out that why they take LSDs. And they told that because we want to go to a different world, we are fed up with this world. So Prabhupada used that. That you already have the inclination to go to a different world. But LSD is not taking you. It just takes you for a while and again you have to come back. So therefore, I will give you this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which will take you permanently to a different world. So Prabhupada used the relation of LSD and compared it with the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Prabhupada used the Vietnam War, giving the example that how everything is uncertain in this material world. Then Prabhupada used people in order to administer the medicine. There was this car rally driver. And Prabhupada was discussing with this car rally driver for 1 hour as to which cars you use, where do you all go for your rallies. And some devotees were thinking, why Prabhupada is talking all this? And then finally, after 1 hour of discussion, Prabhupada asked, do people die also in these car rallies? And he said, definitely, so many people die. And immediately Prabhupada connected that. So what do you know about death? And then, this material world is full of birth, old age, disease and death. And Prabhupada then spoke for 2 hours about the Krishna conscious philosophy. So he took that person who was a car rally driver and preached in that way. There was this Mr. Mohota, who was a Mayavadi, a businessman. And he was telling, when Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita, it is not Krishna who is saying. So Prabhupada immediately said, so you should also be not Mr. Mohota then, if you say something. As you are saying that if Krishna says, it is not Krishna, so if you are saying something, you should be also not Mr. Mohota. And then Prabhupada attacked the Mayavad philosophy, comparing it with his business dealings. And Prabhupada said, just like, which is better for you? 100 million rupees spread out in 100 million pockets or 100 million rupees in your pocket? Prabhupada asked Mr. Mohota, which is better? And he said, definitely 100 million rupees in my pocket. So similarly, the form of Krishna is superior to the all-pervading aspect of Krishna. And then he understood by that example, because he could relate to money. And especially money in his pocket. He could relate to that. The owner of that glass factory, Prabhupada asked, that how do you make glass? He said, from sand and the combination of all that, sun and water. From where does the sand comes? He said, from nature. And whose nature it is? God's, Krishna's. So you are a thief. Because you are stealing then from Krishna. And because he could understand that yes, ultimately at one point of time, I am dependent on Krishna. So he could get the message in. Then Prabhupada also used objects to deliver his message. Prabhupada saw that signboard, unalloyed steel, and connected it with unalloyed pure devotional service. In a walk, Prabhupada saw that there were signs of this Coca-Cola, which said, "Enjoy Coca-Cola. Things go better with Coca-Cola." And Prabhupada said, "You should call up this Coca-Cola company and tell them that they should, instead of Coca-Cola, anyways people are anyways buying Coca-Cola. So instead of this Coca-Cola, they should say Hare Krishna. So enjoy Hare Krishna, things go better with Hare Krishna." So he was using these signboards in order to give messages. One senior disciple of Prabhupada was having some problems following his vows. He came up to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada at that time, he was playing mridang in his room, chanting. So as this devotee came reporting about his problem, Prabhupada was playing mridanga and said, "Krishna consciousness is like playing mridanga. The more you play, the better you become." That was the only message he gave to this person. And this devotee understood that whatever situation I might be in, let me just continue with my little practice and slowly I'll be getting better. Few Mayavadis came to Prabhupada and they were speaking about how everything is one. And Prabhupada was speaking on the mic and Prabhupada showed his five fingers. "You see, these five fingers, tell me one thing, are they one or different?" And they were a little confused. And then Prabhupada used those five fingers to hold the mic and said, "These five fingers are different. They have different positions, they have different sizes. But when they are here holding the mic, they are all one. Because they are one in interest. So similarly, yes, we are all different. But when our interest becomes one to serve Krishna, that is oneness." So Prabhupada used the microphone and his fingers to give the message of the difference between oneness and the duality. And of course Prabhupada said that story of the Christian preacher who was preaching to the coal miners, and how this Christian preacher used newspapers in order to make them understand that in hell there are no newspapers. So they understood immediately that if there are no newspapers, we don't want to go there. So what should we do? And then Prabhupada said that how that Christian preacher delivered the message. So we see how Srila Prabhupada and all these wonderful acharyas, they have used. And here Jad Bharat is using this beautiful allegory in order to make Maharaj Raghuvan understand, because they are in the situation in the middle of the forest. And he's giving this example which Maharaj Raghugun could relate to. And then we see how Maharaj Raghugun surrenders totally and completely unto Jad Bharat. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any comments or questions? Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.